even when like we're stressed, that is actually detrimental to our gut. And that's why one of the things I tell people all the time when you're trying to support your gut health is you want to do meditation or deep breathing or take a walk in nature, something that calms you down, because those, your brain is actually sending signals down to your gut through this vagus nerve.
Hi, this is Danae. I'm the founder of Simple Families. Simple Families is an online community for parents who are seeking a simpler, more intentional life. In this show, we focus on minimalism with kids, positive parenting, family wellness, and decreasing the mental load. My perspectives are based in my firsthand experience raising kids, but also rooted in my PhD in child development. So you're going to hear conversations that are based in research, but more importantly, real life. Thanks for joining us. Hello, hello, Danae here. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Families podcast. That voice you heard in the intro is Tina Anderson. She's joining me today to talk about gut health and probiotics. Tina is a co-founder of the company Just Thrive Probiotics, whom I recently welcomed as a podcast sponsor, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to explore this topic a little bit deeper. We hear a lot about how valuable probiotics are and how important gut health is. But I know I have a lot of questions about what all that means. Where is the gut? Why do we say, go with your gut feeling? Why do we ask people, what does your gut tell you? How do we choose between all these probiotics, the ones that are in the refrigerator, the ones that are chewable? There's so many options. And do we even need them? So I'm thankful that Tina's joining us today to answer some of these questions and tell us more about this topic. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoy my chat with Tina. Hi, Tina. How are you?
Great, Danae. How are you?
I am good. I'm happy to have you here today. I have a mile-long list of questions for you.
I'm happy to be here. Excited to answer them.
So maybe we can start. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and how Just Thrive started.
Sure. Yeah. You know what? I'm an attorney. So I was in litigation for many years, working crazy hours, and started to have children. And after my second was born, I decided that I wanted more of a work-life balance. So I was fortunate enough to be able to pivot and go into a family pharmaceutical business, where I was really excited about it because I'm like, oh, you know, we're doing something that's like helping people and delivering life-saving medications to people. This is awesome. But after being in the pharmaceutical industry for a while, we started to notice the abuses in the industry. You know, we started to notice the overprescribing of medications. We saw it not only in the industry, but with our own relatives. One relative that always comes to mind is my husband's aunt, who was on one medication for a stomach issue. Then that caused joint issues. And then she was on another medication for joint issues. And then she developed skin rashes. And then before you know it, she was on a dozen different medications and not really getting any better. And, you know, we just saw that the focus of the pharmaceutical industry was so much about treating symptoms. It wasn't as much about prevention or maintenance of health. And of course, you know, there's a place for pharmaceuticals and their life-saving medications. And I don't mean to say that there's not a place for them. It's just that it wasn't where kind of like our heart was. We were really more into like prevention and more of maintenance of your health. And so my husband and I both felt this way, and we decided that we wanted to pivot into the natural health and wellness world. And so through a lot of, I always say being at the right place at the right time and a lot of prayer and meditation, we were able to license these game-changing probiotic strains out of London University. And from there is where Just Thrive was born.
So tell us first, why do people need probiotics? What do they do for us?
Yes. Well, where I'd love to start is like gut health. Why is gut health so important? And that's why you would need a probiotic. But just so everybody understands, like gut health is literally, we now know from the Human Microbiome Project that was launched by the National Institutes of Health about 2007, told us more about the gut than we ever knew before. And what we found out is that the gut is literally dictating every aspect of our overall health. So people always thought, oh, I need a probiotic because I have some bloating, or I need a probiotic because I have like some diarrhea or constipation. And those are absolutely reasons why you would need a probiotic. That's an indication that you have some gut imbalance. But what we're now finding out is that the gut is actually responsible for heart disease, diabetes, cancer, of course, autoimmune issues, mental health issues, anxiety, depression, all of those types of conditions are actually all stemming from some type of imbalance in your gut. You know, acne, our immune system, you know, 80% of our immune system is actually found in our gut lining. So all of our, so much of our health is really stemming from our gut. And we know that this Human Microbiome Project told us that we are 10 times more bacterial organisms than we are human cells. And that's really hard for people to wrap their heads around, that we are more bacteria than we are human. And yet we live in this world that's so offensive to bacteria that's living in and on us, you know, from antibacterial hand sanitizers and antibacterial soaps to antibiotics that we take, antibiotics that are in our food supply. Antibiotics save lives. And I don't suggest that you don't take an antibiotic if it's going to save your life, but there is so much of an overprescribing of antibiotics. The CDC did a study. It showed that 50% of antibiotics are actually not necessary, prescribed, and that we're not actually necessary. So, you know, there's just an over prescribing of things. And there's a world that we're living in that's so disruptive to our gut health. So, you know, household products, there was a study that showed household products that actually kill off 99.99% of the bacteria. You know, it says on there kills 99.99% of the bacteria. Those household products actually, those households actually have children with a higher incidence of allergies and autoimmune issues, because we know that these bacteria that are living in and on us are actually really, really not just beneficial, they're actually critical for our overall health. So it's really important that we are doing things to support our gut health, because we live in this world that's so offensive, and because we know our gut is dictating so much of our overall health.
Okay. So when you say gut, what do you mean by gut?
Yeah. So what I mean by the gut is the totality of our microbiome. It's basically the totality of organisms that are living in and on us, most of which are found in our intestinal tract. So when I'm talking about gut, I'm talking about the intestines mostly. So, but the microbiome is considered living all around us, but most of it is found in our intestines.
Okay. So when we say gut, we're thinking more or less of our intestines, but also sort of intermingled with other body parts as well.
Absolutely. Exactly.
So the phrases like trust your gut or go with your gut, where do those come from?
Yeah, well, they're very true. And now we have science to back it up. You know, we know that when we there's something called the gut-brain axis, and it's this communication going back and forth from the gut to the brain and the brain to the gut. So we know when we're excited about something, you know, we have butterflies in our stomach, and that is our brain and gut speaking back and forth to each other. And so we know that even when like we're stressed, that is actually detrimental to our gut. And that's why one of the things I tell people all the time when you're trying to support your gut health is you want to do meditation or deep breathing or take a walk in nature, something that calms you down, because those, your brain is actually sending signals down to your gut through this vagus nerve and this gut-brain axis. There's so much research behind that gut-brain axis now. And so trusting your gut is the same concept. It's like your gut is, your brain and your gut are constantly in communication with each other. So I definitely always suggest that people trust their gut if they have a nice, healthy gut.
Right. And if they don't, maybe it's not so trustworthy.
Maybe not so good. Right.
Right. So I know I have a lot of physicians listening, and I've talked to my doctor, I've talked to our pediatrician about probiotics before, and I do feel like there's not a disagreement, but maybe not an overwhelming push from the totality of the medical community towards probiotics. Is there a divide? Is this kind of a naturopathic versus traditional medicine? I don't know. Tell me, what does that look like?
It's interesting.
Opinions.
Yeah, definitely. You'll see the naturopathic doctors and the functional medicine doctors kind of leading more towards, you know, taking a probiotic. And then the conventional doctors that you find out there are not as excited about them. And the reason, I actually think I know why, I don't know for sure, but the reason I speculate why the conventional doctors are not a huge fan of probiotics is because we know that most probiotics on the market are actually dying before they get to the intestines. You know, just that a probiotic needs to be refrigerated to stay alive is questionable. You know, even some doctors will say, oh, take a probiotic that's refrigerated. Well, that's actually not true, because a probiotic actually, if it needs to be refrigerated, it means it can't withstand the room temperature of the store shelf. So if it can't withstand the room temperature of the store shelf, how in the world would it ever survive your body temperature, which is 98.6, much warmer, much hotter? Then how would it make that journey to the intestines? To be an effective probiotic, it needs to arrive alive in the intestines. The overwhelming majority of probiotics fail to even get to the intestines alive. Not only will the temperature of our body kill them off, but the stomach acid is very acidic. The stomach is supposed to be this gastric barrier. And the majority of probiotics actually have difficulty getting to the intestines alive. And so that's the big difference with the spore-based probiotics, which are the type of probiotics that are found in Just Thrive, is they are not the conventional type of probiotics. They have this endospore shell around themselves, and that shell around itself allows it to make that journey to the intestines 100% alive. And then it doesn't take that shell off until it gets to the intestines. So I feel like a lot of doctors are not huge fans of them, because they know that they're dying by the time they get to the intestines. But I do feel like conventional doctors are really starting to understand, now that the National Institutes of Health came out with this human microbiome project, that the gut is so critical to our overall health. And I think they are starting to start to understand more about probiotics. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what's hard about our medical system is, you know, doctors don't have time. I mean, they don't have time to understand a lot of this stuff. A lot of their education comes from pharmaceutical reps that come into their office. And, you know, the natural supplement space doesn't have the resources to go in and educate doctors on the different types of probiotics or supplements and all of that kind of stuff.
Okay. So a lot of what many physicians have experienced with prescribing or suggesting probiotics is not a favorable outcome, because the thought is that maybe because the probiotics were dead by the time they reached the gut for some of these patients, and sort of developed a reputation for being less than dependable. Is that my understanding that right?
That would be my guess. Again, it's speculation, okay, but I would guess that that's probably why. And even the dead bacteria will give some people some symptomatic relief, but it's not making a true change in the gut microbiome.
Okay. I see. So I remember, you know, probably 10 years ago, standing in Whole Foods, and in front of the probiotic aisle, there's some refrigerated ones, some non-refrigerated ones, and just being so confused about what to do. And then I asked the person standing in that worked there for help, and they gave me a little bit of help. And then I'm asking myself, like, I don't even know if they actually work in this aisle. Like, I don't know if they know any more than I know, and I know nothing. Yeah. And just feeling really overwhelmed by the types of strains, the quantity of strains, if I order them online and I ship them, at the time I was living in Texas and it was 95 degrees, and then they arrive in my front door and they sit on my front door for 3 hours, like, is that a waste of money?
Right.
So
right.
I think that in general, do you hear that a lot, that people are just really overwhelmed by getting started?
Yes, people are definitely overwhelmed. And there are so many myths out there. Like, we already talked about the refrigeration myth. You know, so many people think it's a better probiotic because it's alive in the refrigerator. Now we know that that's not true. But then, like, the reason that myth came along is because, you know, a probiotic that's just sitting on a store shelf is probably dead. You know, the one in the refrigerator is probably maybe alive. It won't get alive by the time it gets to the intestines, but the one sitting on the store shelf is probably dead to begin with. And so it's kind of, you know, and a lot of companies have done these different kinds of enteric coating and special engineering to make them get to the intestines alive. And I do think that there's a lot of myths out there about what really is making a true change in the gut. And I think if there's one thing I could leave everybody with, is that what you want a probiotic to do is to make a true change in the gut. So if you kind of compare your intestinal tract to a garden, and the garden has been stepped on and trampled on, and there's weeds growing all over that garden, and it's kind of like you compare it to your intestines, and you've got like beneficial bacteria, and then you have pathogenic bacteria, and that pathogenic bacteria is taking over the beneficial bacteria. So same thing with the garden. So what we want, we don't want a probiotic just to go in there. Let's say one or two make it into that garden. all they're going to do in there is put a new plant in there. And they're not really making a change in their garden. They're not doing anything with those weeds that have been stepped on and trampled on. They're not doing anything with those plants that really need to come back to life. Where the spore-based probiotic strains that we work with, they actually go into that garden, they attach to this in the gut, in the intestinal cell wall, but in the garden, they attach to the soil. They have the ability to get rid of the weeds in that garden, and they have the ability to bring some of those plants back to life. So if you compare that to your intestines, these spores go into the intestines. They have the ability to get rid of that overgrowth of pathogenic bacteria, and they have the ability to bring that beneficial bacteria back to life so it's flourishing in your gut. So it's a very different approach to gut health. It's going in there and actually changing the ecosystem of your gut in a more favorable way. Whereas, you know, the conventional probiotics that you find in the health food store are just maybe planting one or two plants. So it makes the garden a little bit better, but it's not really making a true change. And so a lot of the stuff that you're hearing, like refrigeration or the number of CFUs, you know, that's a lot of times people will be like, well, how many CFUs does your probiotic have? And CFU stands for colony forming units. And there is absolutely no science to that, no science whatsoever to say that one that has 50 billion is better than one that has 10 billion. Or now they have ones that are 200 billion or 250 billion CFUs. That is true marketing at its finest. You know, here we are in America, more is better. There is absolutely no studies that having more CFU count is actually going to do anything more in your gut. The key is those probiotic strains that are there, what kind of change are they going to make? And we have studied this. We are very based in research and science. And we have, one of our first studies was a gut model study. It showed that just after 2 weeks, these strains that are used in our product actually showed a 30% favorable shift in the gut microbiome. Again, a profound study. We've never seen a study of that kind that actually shows that kind of shift. So I just would suggest people don't get caught up in how many CFUs or if it's refrigerated or not refrigerated. It's just really find a product that is like has the science behind it that shows change, a true change that's going on in the gut.
Okay. So for a long time, I gave my kids probiotics that were like a little piece of white chocolate or like a chewable. Are those just garbage? Tell me more about this.
Well, it's if they're made with bacillus strains, not lactobacillus. So lactobacillus and bifidobacterium type strains are the ones that generally will die by the time they get to the intestines. It all depends on which those, you know, what strains those had. If they had the bacillus and they have the studies behind them, then they may have been. I don't know which ones those were. So you really want to focus on ones that have bacillus endospore strains. So they would say bacillus subtilis, bacillus clausi. Those are the strains, bacillus indicus. Those are strains that are really have been shown in studies to be effective and get to the intestines alive.
Okay. So some strains are hardier than others and last.
Yes. And so here's what's really neat about the bacillus strains is the bacillus strains that we work with actually are the same type of strains that were found in our environment. So years ago, our ancestors used to eat off the land. You know, they would eat roots and tubers off the land and they would get the soil on their roots and tubers, and they would actually eat some of those probiotic strains from the soil. So this is the way we naturally evolved. We never naturally evolved to get lactobacillus and bifidobacterium strains from the environment. We are inoculated with our bacteria at childbirth, from vaginal childbirth. That is when we are inoculated with lactobacillus and bifidobacterium strains. And those are the most prevalent strains that are in our guts right now, but it's the bacillus strains, and I know this is a little bit sciencey, but the bacillus strains that are found in our environment are the way nature intended us to take care of our intestinal tract. So those are the same type of strains we work with. And yes, they are very hardy. They have this spore shell on them. When you find them in the soil, they have this spore shell around them. So we have not engineered these to be, you know, have the spore shell. They actually have this spore shell. And when they get to the intestines, they recognize it as its home and take the intestine, the shell off. And that's when it becomes a live microorganism. So it's not important that a probiotic is alive in the refrigerator. It's important that a probiotic is alive when it hits your intestines. And that's really one of the biggest takeaways, is that focus on getting a live bacteria organism, a live probiotic hitting the intestines, not necessarily in the refrigerator.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. I feel like I'm trying to understand all of this.
I mean, it's just the easiest part is that this is the way nature evolved. Right. This is the way we evolved as humans, to be getting these from the soil. Unfortunately, the soil we live in, you know, if you lived in Tanzania, a tribe in Tanzania, and the soil was untouched and, you know, not overfarmed and depleted of nutrients, you would need to take our product. You know, you would just be able to go ahead and, you know, eat from the land and you would get these bacterial organisms. But unfortunately, the world we live in, we don't have those.
Right. So I'm obviously things like antibiotics will damage or cause a need for probiotics. My kids were just on antibiotics last week. They had strep. Oh. So we're definitely doing both antibiotics and probiotics still this week. But I'm thinking about other things that would compromise our gut. So stress, what about eating a lot of grilled cheese and mac and cheese and cheese pizza?
Yeah, a lot of
processed. Not that I know anybody that does that.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, we can't beat ourselves up either, but absolutely. I mean, all the processed foods that we're eating it's detrimental to our gut health. The sugar that we're eating, incredibly detrimental. Alcohol, all these things are very detrimental to our gut health. And, you know, just like the air we're breathing, it's so toxic. The chemicals that are around us, you know, our personal care products. I mean, there's just a lot of things that are very detrimental to our gut health. We are living in a world that is so disruptive. Leaky gut is the cause of autoimmune issues. And this is all, you know, stemming from a disruption in our gut microbiome. And so I would always recommend people try to eat as clean and as whole as possible. We know organic food is definitely better for our gut, more supportive of our gut, because our produce is being sprayed by Roundup, and glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup, and it is incredibly detrimental to our gut microbiome. Antibiotics in our gut kill the bad bacteria as well as the good bacteria. We want antibiotics to kill the bad bacteria, but then they kill the good bacteria. Glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, only targets our beneficial bacteria in our gut. So it's almost worse than antibiotics, and yet we're eating it so regularly. But I recognize it's expensive to, you know, always eat organic. I just would recommend trying, you know, maybe some frozen fruits and vegetables that you could find organic. They seem to be a little bit more affordable. But, you know, and I'd always suggest baby steps. Just try to take baby steps along the way, and don't try to do it all at once.
Okay. Can you give me more of an outline of some of the other modalities that help to support gut health?
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of touched upon one. I do feel that anything you could do to calm yourself down, I mean, that's good for so many areas of our health, not just our gut health, but we do know that because of that gut-brain axis, you know, introducing meditation, sometimes it's even just making a huge lifestyle change. You know, when we, you know, for example, I was an entrepreneur. I am an entrepreneur. I have three kids. I was running around. They all play college sports and high school sports. I was, you know, but I finally had to make a huge change in my life, because we need to sometimes make lifestyle changes that are drastic, but that is so important for our gut health. I would avoid sugar, alcohol, like I mentioned. I would try to eat a diverse group of foods. You know, go to ethnic grocery stores. Maybe we're as a society, you always like have the same type of foods on a regular basis. You know, we eat the same vegetables and tubers. Even if you don't go to an ethnic grocery store, even if you just go to your regular grocery store and try to have different types of vegetables that we don't normally eat, the more diverse our microbiome is, this is very well established, the healthier our microbiome is and the healthier our overall health is. So if we have health in our microbiome, we have overall health. 90% of non-communicable diseases are associated with the health or unhealth of our gut. So I would do that, you know, trying to not use those household products that cleans 99.99% of the bacteria. You know, bacteria is our friend. You know, playing in the dirt is really important. You know, we're so afraid of germs and when we're cleaning things with bleach and all those types of things, that's actually really killing our microbes. And I usually just use a water spray bottle with some with essential oils in there, and I just clean off my counters. Okay, like the toilet bowl, we need to, you know, clean, have some heavy duty cleaners for that. But generally, I just try to be a little bit cleaner with the ingredients that I'm using. I think that's really beneficial as well.
I really needed that reminder to buy different fruits and vegetables because I've been ordering my groceries online and I've been in the habit of going to past purchases and just clicking, and that makes my life so much easier.
Yes. Well, it's a simple thing. So that's, that's a good,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and with the online ordering, I can just click on produce and I can quickly see a whole list of other things. So, it's not that much more work, but it does take a little bit of thinking outside of the box and pausing to do something like that.
It's so good for your kids too, because the more that they're introduced to things, the more they'll be able to tolerate different kinds of foods.
Yeah. So thinking about how that diversity of foods, especially when you're thinking about fruits and vegetables, is good for the gut, is it because they're grown in different soils, or is it the actual vitamins and minerals within the fruits and vegetables? What is that?
Yeah, it's a combination of both, actually. So the different soils, especially when you go to ethnic grocery stores, that's a big part of it. So you're getting different types of bacterial organisms. You know, if somebody in Europe is, their bacterial organisms in their gut are very different than ours. And even someone from New York, where you're from, and Chicago, where I'm from, would be different just because we're getting different types of, you know, nutrients from the soil. So it's a little bit of a combination of both. That's a great question.
Yeah. Last year we spent a month in Mexico and we took a lot of probiotics in preparation and while we were there, and we ate everything. And I think a lot of Americans, you know, we know the Montezuma's revenge that and I'm fearful of that because, you know, I've had that happen to me before when I'm traveling. And it's scary, especially to think about kids like getting sick and like, especially being abroad. So is that what traveler's diarrhea and those sort of ailments are, they related to? It's different bacteria that your body's exposed to, not necessarily bad bacteria.
I think you bring up a great point, is that what we want to do is have a resilient gut. That is our goal here, is we want our kids' guts to be resilient. We want our guts to be resilient. So then when we are faced with different pathogens like people get in Mexico, it's not just the different kind of food. There are obviously some pathogens that we're exposed to when you're in Mexico, but it's about building that resilience in our gut so we're able to tolerate it better. I mean, that's the one thing I love to remind everybody, is our bodies are beautifully designed to heal themselves. And unfortunately, they're being attacked on a daily basis. But the more resilient we could create our bodies and our gut microbiome, the better we'll be able to handle those things that come across to us. Like I said, 80% of our immune system is found in our gut lining. I mean, the number one thing we could do to support our immune system is to support our gut health.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so helpful. I feel had a lot of these questions for a while, so I've learned so much today. Thank you, Tina.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. And I do have a coupon code if you guys are interested. If you go to our website at justthrivehealth.com, the coupon is simple for 20% off. We generally give 15% off, but we are giving 20% off of the 90-day because what we find happening is that people start to notice, like they feel better for whatever reason they started taking the probiotic. But after 90 days, they start to see all the different things. You know, 90% of our neurotransmitters are found in our gut. So our happy hormone, like serotonin, is produced in our gut. So we start to see all these other great things that happen. So, you know, we always encourage people to do the 90-day for that reason, just to notice the difference. So it's, the coupon code is simple, for 20% off the 90-day, and the URL is justthrivehealth.com. And thank you so much for allowing me to be here. It's been a blast talking to you.
Absolutely. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this chat with Tina Anderson, the co-founder of Just Thrive. This has been episode 348, simplefamilies.com/episode 348. Thanks for being here.